So we are continuing on with our word trust. And so what does T stand for? And what does R stand for?
Rest.
Wasn't that good this morning? Whew. Love learning about rest. And how many people did? I just want to see. I never take naps, ever, like that. And I fell asleep. Boom. I was going to lay down for 5 seconds, and I was like, whoo, gone. The girls are like, Mom, don't you need to get up? Exactly, yes. All right, so now we're going to go into the next part. Actually, let's do all five first. So we have truth, rest. Tonight is unswerving, surrender, and timing. And I was telling you earlier that you is kind of the turning point in the word trust, which is interesting because it's about us, right? We talked about that this morning. It's about you, right? Or me, but you know what I'm saying. And so this is the point where we have a responsibility. I mean, the first two you do to a degree, but a lot of it is based on your trusting in the Lord, right? With all your heart. But a lot of it is Him imparting to us. This is a point where we make a difference in the ability to trust, okay? So these are kind of the trickier ones. And that goes with the rest of Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the next part says, lean not on your own understanding. And this is going to be critical for us in these next three letters. It's going to make a difference. Now, leaning is great. Anybody ever kneeboarded before? Okay, I love kneeboarding. Well, when I was younger. It was amazing. We would go to Snake River, and it was just like glass. And you take your kneeboard, and you lean. You do a lot of leaning. And leaning on a kneeboard is very cool because it takes you outside the wake, and you come back this way, and you jump the wake, or you can go out, and you're like, what is that, perpendicular with the boat? And you're out here, and the boat's here. You just have to be careful when it whips you back around, right? I mean, that's awesome when you're leaning, okay? Sometimes you lean when you ski. Anybody ever skied before? Snow skied or snowboard or whatever? You do the leaning, right? That's how you move, right? That's a good thing for leaning, okay? Sometimes you can lean when you're on a horse, right? You use your knees and you lean and the horse goes with you. Right? Another good leaning. Can I tell you what's not a good point for leaning? In your faith. Not good. Leaning is not good when it comes to your faith. Why would leaning not be good for your faith? Just anybody. Wavering. What else? Somebody else. Tell me something. Why would leaning not be good for you? Yes. Why would we go anywhere else? Absolutely. Because she said, why would we go anywhere else? When you lean, you change the direction that you're going. Right? As long as I'm kneeboarding and I'm holding on and I've got my legs straight like this, this is where I'm going. Right? But as soon as I lean, I change the direction in which I am going. And if we lean somewhere in our faith, we are going to change the direction we are supposed to be going. And can I just give you a hint? It's never good. It's not a good thing, right? Because he says, lean not. Right? Lean not. It's almost like you can see a dad. Daughters. Lean not. Nada. No leaning. We don't do that. We don't lean, right? On your what? On your own. Stop there for a second. Ooh, on your own. How many times have you tried to do something on your own outside of the Lord? You definitely know you've been in the wrong direction. And if you don't know that, you come after church or after the service and I'll explain to you why that's going the wrong direction when you go on your own. But on your own what? Understanding. Do you see how these are just, it's like piling, right? So sometimes we say a verse and we just go right through it and, I just love that little verse. It's got a little plaque, you know. No. It's the word of God for a reason and you need it. Lean not on your own understanding. And when I was thinking about the letter U, I know it doesn't really fit because you got trust and rest, surrender, timing, unswerving. It's like, okay, you got something but prefix before and a suffix at the ending, you know? How can we make this word even more complicated? But I feel like the Lord, I have hair right here. Sorry. Okay, there we go. I kept seeing the shadow on the side of my head. It's distracting. Okay, focus. Unswerving. And I kept asking the Lord, You sure you don't want another U word? Unique. I mean, unusual. I mean, I can come up with some other U words. And I feel like he said, no, unswerving. And it's important because when you swerve, you also change directions. Okay? If you're driving along, and we do this a lot in Washougal, and a deer comes right through your path, right, Sadie? And you need to swerve to get around him, because if you keep going straight, you're going to help that deer cross the street, right? So we don't want to swerve in our faith. We want to keep going straight with the Lord. So our verse, our passage of scripture tonight, look at this. Isn't Lacey wonderful? She wrote them all out for you tonight. Yay, thank you. She has better handwriting than I do. Okay, so we're going to be looking at 2 Kings 4, and you can open your Bibles there. So we want to make sure that we are unswerving. So what does the word unswerving mean? Well, un means the opposite of something. So if you are swerving, you are changing directions. And ing means in the process of. So if you are swerving, you are in the process of swerving. So if you are unswerving, you are in the process of not swerving. Does that make sense? Okay, I hope it does. That's the word he gave me. All right, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 2 Kings 4. And we're back to an Elisha story. Again, don't you just love him? I do. Okay, and we are going to start in verse 8. Okay, is everybody at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8? And again, I know that this is a longer passage, but sometimes it's important for us to read and actually see it for ourselves. And it says this in verse 8, "Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem," that's how come she's a Shunammite woman, "where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, 'Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let's make a small upper room on the wall, and let's put a bed in there for him, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand. I'm going to go out and get a really cool comforter, and some pillows, and a cute little rack, and then we'll put a little," you know what I'm saying? She wanted to doll the place up. "And so it will be there, and whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." Verse 11, "And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned in the upper room, and he lay down. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, 'Call the Shunammite, call her for me.' When he called her, she stood before him, and he said to him," so he's talking to Gehazi to tell her, "'Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' He wanted to give her promotion and protection. And she answered, 'I dwell among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is it that can be done for her?' And Gehazi answered and said, 'Actually, she has no son and her husband is old.' So he said to her," "call her.' And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, 'About this time next year, you shall embrace a son.' And she said, 'No.'" What? She said, "No?" She said, "No, my lord. Man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." Was she saying, "No, I don't want a child"? She was saying, "Don't lie to me. My husband's old, and there is no possibility of a child here." They doesn't say it, but I'm guessing they've been trying. And there was no son, okay? So she wasn't saying, "No, she didn't want one." She just was saying, "No, don't lie to her," because she didn't think it could happen. And he says to her, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No." Oh, I already read that part. Okay. That's 17. "But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. And now it happened one day when he went out to his father's, to the reapers, he said to his father, 'My head. Oh, dad, my head.' And he said to his servants," okay, let's just stop here for a second. Your child is asking you or telling you that their head hurts. And he says to his servants, "Take the child to his mother." Okay, so I see a problem here, okay? So this is an earthly father that does not have a good relationship with his child. He was an older dad, so maybe he didn't have the patience. I don't know, but that doesn't go, that doesn't bode well with me. Okay. If a child comes to a dad, okay, they need to pay attention. Don't just send them with the sermons. That's just my little sermonette for you. Okay. And we'll go back here. All right. So we were in verse 20. Oh, no, it's 19. And so he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. Now I'm 21. And when she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him and went out. Now I know this sounds strange, but hang with me here for a second. Then she called to her husband and said, please send one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. And he said to her, is this about our son? I mean, I'm thinking, you know, you don't have to be too bright to figure out she wants to go see the man of God and your son just told you his head hurt. And he says instead, why are you going to him today? It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. And she said, all is well. Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, look, that's the Shunammite woman. Please run to meet her and say to her, is all well with you? Is all well with your husband, and is all well with the child? So the servant goes, we don't hear this part of the story, but he goes and he says all these things to her, and she answered him, all is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. I mean, she fell to her knees, prostrate before him, grabbed onto his feet, okay? But Gehazi came near to her to push her away. But the man of God says, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me what this is about. So she said, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready, take my staff in your hand and be on your way. And if you meet anyone, do not greet him. If anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and he followed her. Now Gehazi went ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him, which was Elisha, and told him, saying, the child is not awakened. Verse 32, when Elisha came into the house, there was the child laying dead on his bed. And he went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up, and he lay on the child. He put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned, walked back and forth in the house again, went up, stretched himself out again, and the child sneezed seven times, opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Amazing story. I mean, just phenomenal story. There's so many parts of this that we could go for hours on, but we're not, I promise. Unswerving. I want you to listen to her answer every single time she was questioned. All is well. All is well. That was her response, right? Both times that she was asked. All is well. You see, the thing about this is that she had found a truth that the man of God had given her. The truth was, he told her she would embrace the son. Is that correct? Is that what he told her? She said, don't lie to me. And he said, no, a year from this appointed time, you're going to embrace a son. That was her truth, okay? And so she got to the point when he arrived that she rested in that truth. And then something happens, the unthinkable. This child dies in her arms, in her arms. But ladies, she had chosen not to swerve. She had a truth from the Lord given to her, and she was not ever going to turn away from that truth. And that's why she could say, all is well. Let's take a look at this. Really, it's kind of a fact or truth. And sometimes people get the two combined or they interchange them, but really a fact is what we see. It's what we see before us, okay? You could have, the fact is, I am 5'2" with shoes on. That's a fact, right? But in the Lord, in the spiritual realm, I believe I am a warrior for the Lord. You know, I am strong. I believe when the devil looks at us, he sees things, right? And I believe when he looks at us and we are on fire, Christians for the Lord, he doesn't see a 5'2". He sees our spiritual selves, right? And he goes, whoo, don't mess with her, right? Okay? And so that's the fact. But the truth is what the word says about me, right? That's the truth. Maybe you're dealing with a sickness in your body. Those are facts that the doctors are telling you. That's not the truth about you. The truth is what the word says. Maybe you open up your checkbook and you look at it and you're like, oh, guess what? That's a fact. It's not the truth. The truth says you will have more than enough. Right? Do you see the difference here? There are facts and then there's truth. Facts we can look at. Abraham looked at the facts, he faced them, that he was well beyond childbearing age, right? It's okay to look at the facts, but that is not your truth. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is about facts and truth. And the truth for her was that she shall embrace a son. And that was the truth that she had. We don't know for sure, but it's alluded that the Shunammite woman had not been able to have children, or her husband hadn't been able to have children. So this was an amazing thing. I get this, because when I was about 21, 22, I had had severe endometriosis when I was younger, to the point where I get these stabbing pains. I would be running down in a basketball game and I felt like somebody just shot a knife through my abdomen. I mean, I'd double over. It was just intense pain. I mean, they did so many tests, and then they brought in the psychiatrist. And is there something going on? Yes, stabbing pain. I don't know what you want to talk about, but it's not in my head. It's here. Anyway, so finally one doctor ended up doing a laparoscopy, and it was awful, you know. And they got it cleaned out, but I remember going to the doctor afterwards, and he was like, we just need to talk about this, that you will never be able to have children because of all the damage that it did in there. And I remember, even as a 21, 22-year-old, I looked at him and I said, well, I hope you're around to deliver them, because I'm having children. Lord says he gives us the desires of our hearts, right? And so this was a desire. The Lord would not have put that on Elisha's heart to give her that truth if it wasn't something that had been on her heart. But sometimes when something's been on our heart and it's been so long since we've seen it or we've had it happen, we kind of lose heart and we let it slip away, right? But she actually had this come to pass in her life, and she held him and she raised him, and now he's on her lap and he's died. But she had a truth and she wasn't letting go. Sometimes the facts and the natural can seem to overweigh the truth. I mean, I don't even want to think about it, but let's get in her shoes for a minute, looking at the truth in your arms. That would be a lot. I mean, I think I have a lot of faith, but that's a lot of faith to look at the facts in front of you that your child has died in your arms and make a determination in your heart, this is not my truth. My truth is my arms embrace a son. It doesn't say there's a time frame on that. The man of God said, I told him, don't lie to me. He said, I'm not lying. My son is going to be in my arms. She was not swerving from the truth that she had. We have to stay firm. We have to stay firm in the word when you get a promise. Did you hear me? We have to stay firm in the word when we get a promise. I don't care how long it takes for that promise to come to pass. We need to be like this woman, and we need to look at things even if they look dead. Even if it looks like that dream of that promise has died, I'm here to tell you tonight, that is the fact. That is not the truth. The truth is God is faithful to all his promises. Listen to me. God is faithful to all his promises. Everyone in this book, he backs. He backs them. I don't know. But when we listen to it later. There you go. Lacey's got it. Lacey, can you say it out loud? If we had a promise. Stay firm in the word if you have a promise. I'm so sorry. Some things, when they come to me, it's like they're not in my notes, and it just goes. But that's why we record it. Yay! So, like I said, the story of my kids. Fact or truth? I have a choice to believe. Which one? Fact or truth? I remember when Steve and I met, I told him, I said, you know, I need to tell you the facts. He said, they said I will never have a child. And I said, but the truth is, I believe I will, because it's the desire of my heart. And then we had 4 in 5 years. Woo! God is good, right? I mean, when God does something, he does it, right? And he blessed us, every single one of them. I was like, Lord, I cannot believe this. This is amazing. Thank you. Actually, I could believe it because I was looking for it. But you know what I mean? Just the awe of God's faithfulness. You know, I remember when I found out I was pregnant with Luke, I did cry, but it wasn't because I was pregnant with him. It was just I had 3 under 4, and I had wanted to homeschool, and I was like, how am I going to homeschool and be pregnant at the same time, you know? But even with Luke, I mean, I can't even imagine my life without him. I cannot. I mean, he brings joy to our family. He just brings joy to everybody. You know, I mean, for those of you who don't know, we had his ultrasound, you know, to find out what it is. And he's doing this in the ultrasound. And my husband's like, hey, can you get a picture of that? Get that picture. And she's like, why? And he goes, he's number 4. And he's holding up, I mean, literally like this on the ultrasound, just holding up a 4. I mean, what baby do you know that's like, I'm number 4, here I come. Get ready. I mean, you know, he just, yes. Oh, yeah, and he got 4th in state. That's right. I mean, just, you know, anyway, he's just a hoot. I mean, he's also a very incredible a guy as far as like his faith. He just has no fear. No fear. I mean, just, it's just awesome. And so, you know, fact or truth, we have to face the facts. Yes. Hair tonight is just going nuts. Okay, it was like poking straight in my eye. We have to face the facts, but that's not our truth. Amen? The truth is, I was going to embrace a child. 4 of them. Hallelujah. I told Steve if we'd have met sooner, there'd have been more. Anyway, so we have to face the facts, but we don't have to be changed and moved by those facts. And she wasn't. The Shumanite woman wasn't. I mean, you think about her son dies in her arm. I'll get the next part. Okay, so fact or truth, her son was gone. Is that a fact or a truth? Fact. That's a fact. Her son is gone. He dies in her arms. Very real fact. But she's not swerving. She tells her husband when he asks her, all is well. All is well. Now, some people might look at that and go, why did she lie to him? Why didn't she just tell them the truth? Not being mean, but if he doesn't want to bring his son to her who's got something going on with his head, I don't know that I'd want to ask him to share his faith with me at that moment. I think she knew he couldn't handle it at that point, right? But she could. And she wasn't lying to him because she had a truth. And what was her truth? She would have a son to embrace. That was her truth, right? So sometimes when people ask you questions about your life or something, you'll say, hey, I'm doing great. I'm still believing God for this miracle. I'm not moving. And they're like, yeah, but you looked at your facts over here, you know, the situations. They might say something. That's why it's so important who you share your promise with. It's super important who you share your promise with. Because you know what? The devil is out there to kill, steal, and destroy. And unfortunately, he uses us sometimes to do that to other people. Not purposefully, but good intentions, but it comes in and it tries to crush your promise. And that's why I believe she didn't say anything, why she said all was well, because she was not going to have anybody take away the truth from her. Nobody. Nobody to take away the truth. God gave her a son. She was at rest. You know, she's not panicking. What does it say? That she picked him up and carried him upstairs and laid him on the man of God's bed. Why'd she take him there? Because that's where the presence of the Lord was. She didn't have the Holy Spirit at that point, right? So she was going to the only source that she knew. And she says, that man of God sleeps in that bed, and that's where my son's going to be. I'm going to shut the door. Why shut the door? I'm not letting anybody else know, not letting anybody else in on this. He is protected and safe in this room where the anointing and the power of God is. But she's calm. You don't read about her freaking out. I might a little bit in this situation, you know? But again, it's like we need to learn from these characters, these stories that God has given us so that we can grow in our faith. Amen. Now, years ago, you might have asked me something like, you know, if your daughter's born and not breathing, you know, I would have been like, what? Ah, freak out, right? But I've grew over the years. So when they came to us and said, I'm sorry, but your daughter's not breathing. The first thing that Steve and I did was not panic. We didn't freak out. We grabbed hands, and I have never heard him speak in tongues so loud in my whole life. And I started joining him, right? And then we know that our doctor was unsaved, and we had no idea about anybody else in the room. But at that point, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Something's messing with your truth. So you're going to shut every door, and you're going to focus in on your truth. What was the truth? She who goes out bearing seed to sow will return with songs of joy, carrying the sheaves with her. And in my mind, my seed was over there on that little table, and I was walking out with her. Amen? And we prayed, and we spoke the breath of God into her. Little did we know, we had Christian nurses. We had Christian anesthesiologists. We had specialists that were the top of their class in how to get an IV into a 5-pound, 13-ounce baby. And he went right in. And they're like, that just doesn't happen. And none of these people were supposed to be there that night. But God worked everything together. What would have happened if we hadn't have focused on the truth? What would have happened if we'd only focused on the facts? But we don't do that. You know why? Because we've tested this, and it's true. This is true. So even in those circumstances, you don't have to freak out. You can rest in the Lord, knowing he's going to work all those things out for your good. Amen? So she didn't panic. She rested. She was unswerving. What did she tell the servant? You get going, and you keep on going, and you don't stop unless I tell you. You don't stop unless I tell you. You keep going. What was she saying? I am holding on behind the boat and just straight on. Just go. She wasn't going to swerve. She had a focus. She was fixed. What was she fixed on? The truth. I've got to get to the man of God. I've got to get to the presence of the Lord. I've got to get there. That's where my truth is. Does that make sense? For us now, we don't have to go through someone. We can go straight to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, right? So she had fact or truth. Her son was gone. That was her fact. But the truth was she shall embrace a son. In times like this, it's so incredibly vital to know what the word says. That's part of the reason why we named Lacey Joy. I had two names. We had Lindsay Faith and Lacey Joy. But when that verse came to me that I would go out carrying the sheaves, go out with joy carrying the sheaves with me, I told Steve, it's joy. You can pick the first one, but it's joy. But Lacey means cheerful. And so we had cheerful joy. Because at that moment, when I first saw her for like the briefest of seconds, it was just intense joy that came out of me. She was alive. She was breathing. And it was like, okay, we can go. We can do this. We've got this, right? God's on our side. He's working things together, right? I mean, it's amazing when you grab hold of that truth. But if you don't know the truth and you get in a circumstance where there's death standing at your door, and you don't know the word, you're in trouble. I'm just going to be honest with you. You are in trouble. You have to put this into you all the time. We have to feed on this. This is life or death, especially in these last days. Okay, we know the Bible says in the last days there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be earthquakes and famines, all these things. But you know what? I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread, and my God will supply all my needs, and he protects me by the power of his name. And I could go on and on and on, because this is here. Do you see how important this is tonight? This is a wake-up call for us. We have to be unswerving women of faith, that no matter what, we don't get pushed around, we don't fall to the ground. I mean, there are emotions, because that we're created that way. We have emotions. That's okay. It's okay to cry. It's okay to go, okay, that hurt, right? We're not saying you don't face reality, but I'm just saying we don't stay in the fact realm. If you stay in the fact realm, it's going to be a problem. We have to go to the faith realm. Is everybody understanding tonight? We have to go to the faith realm so that we can look people in the eye and say, all is well. And they can tell you, but I know not as well, all is well. I can see for myself. Well, you only see the facts, but I know the truth. I know the truth of what God says. I'm just waiting for the truth to catch up with the facts. Or the facts to catch up with the truth. Sorry. Nothing was going to cause this woman to swerve, ever. Fact or truth, you shall have a son still. Ooh, this is good. Fact or truth, everybody say truth. You shall have a son still. The servant questions her, and this is a really key moment here. It's one thing to tell unsaved loved ones that all is well. But now you're dealing with someone who is in the presence of the Lord, and they ask you, is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? Is all well with your child? And she still does not give in to the temptation to say, no, it's not. He died. He died in my arms. And just break down. She could have in this presence, but she even in that presence says, all is well. Get me to the man of God. This is incredible faith to be able to each time say, all is well. And I don't believe it was, well, all is well, all is well, all is well. No, I believe it is, all is well. Let's go. Let's go to the master. Come on. You know, drag it in behind her maybe. And then I love when she comes into his presence. She comes in and she falls to her feet before him. Sometimes we come into the presence of the Lord and we're telling him what's what. Right? No, she comes in humbly before him and bows at his feet. Now, we don't bow at a man's feet, but we can come into the presence of the Lord with humility, saying, Father, I'm here, and I'm here with your truth. And this is what's going on. But even to the man of God, did you ever hear her say her son died? Do we ever hear her say her son died? No. We never hear her say that. What has she said to him? Say to him, I told you not to lie to me. You said I would embrace a son, and I told you not to lie to me. And he knew in that moment that her child was not well. And he sends Gehazi ahead, right, to put the rod on the child. And I love her response. There's already... the answer is on its way. And what does she say to him? Ha, ha, ha. I am not leaving your presence. I am not leaving your presence. Anybody remember Jacob when he wrestled with the angel? And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. You remember that? This is the same tenacity that this woman has right now. And she's saying, I am not leaving your presence until my child is in my arms, whole. It doesn't say that he ever intended to go with Gehazi, right? In all the other stories we read, what? He always sends somebody else. But in this story, it says he went after her. So we know what pace it was. It wasn't real slow. Because she told her servant one way, get going. I'm sure it was just the same going back. Now here's an incredible act of faith. I was thinking about this. They get back to her house. The servant comes and says there's no breath still. Whew, I remember that. 9 minutes of no breath when Lacey was born. And I remember the emotions that went through. It's like, oh, no, nope. I remember, you know, you have the epidural and it's like all your emotions are everywhere. And I had been in labor for quite a while. And I remember even through my tears, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Nope. She's with us. She's staying with me. I'm walking out of here with her. I'm walking out of here with her. And Steve's beside me and speaking that word over her, right? And it's a powerful moment when you hear there's breath. It was like the electricity in the room. It's like she's breathing. We've got it. We've got it. You know, after 9 minutes, and we didn't know at that point even what was being thought of by the doctors or anything. And the doctor told us later, he told Steve, he didn't tell me, he said, I have to be honest with you. I thought I was going to lose my first baby tonight. And he said, I've never seen anything like that before. He's like, I don't know what you guys did, but I've never seen anything like that before. And he's like, that little girl should not be with us. Should not be with us, you know. Years later, we found out that they talked about her birth and what happened to her for years afterwards, and they all thought she would have brain damage because she went so long without breathing. And she was a 4.0 student and graduated summa cum laude from college, so there's no brain damage over here. Amen. Woo! But the point is this, is that we held on to a truth, and we didn't let go, just like this mom did. And they get back to their house, and I find this interesting, that Elisha goes in, and he closes the door on her. So here's another act of faith. You're not even in the room with the situation. You are outside. Has anybody ever felt like that, when you're praying for somebody, and you're outside the door? And you just wish you could get in there. I just need to know what's going on. I just need to be there. I just need to be there. But we don't read that about her. We know she never left the door because we know when he called, she was right there. But that's another act of faith. Sometimes our faith has to stay outside the door of the people we love the most. And we have to wait. But we cannot swerve. We cannot swerve in our faith. They need us. They need our faith. They need our prayers. They need our, I've got the truth and I'm holding on. You almost can picture in your mind her hands on the door. God, my son's over there. Bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back to me. Be faithful to your word. You said I would embrace the son. You said. And she's fighting for him outside. And then we read that Elisha's first response isn't just to go over and lay hands. Sometimes we need to rest and we need to pray and ask the Lord, how do I do this? And everything we read of Elisha is not normal. I'm just saying, they're not normal ways that you would pray for people. I don't normally pray for someone by laying them down and getting on them and, you know, eyes to eyes, nose to nose, hands to hands, mouth to mouth. That's not how we normally pray for people. You might get in trouble if you pray for people like that now these days, right? But you know what I'm saying? God told him what to do. And it says that he got warm, but nothing happened. And it says he got up, and what did he do? He started pacing back and forth, praying. What was he doing? He was waiting for the revelation to be revealed to him of what this child needed. All the while, mom's at the door saying, truth, my truth is I will embrace my son. My truth is I will embrace my son. And I'm sure Elisha could hear her outside the door. And he's saying, God, what do I need to do? I need a revelation for you. And he does it again. He gets back on him, and the child sneezes 7 times. 7 times. 7 is a holy number. He sneezes 7 times and comes back to life. I can't imagine the emotions when Gehazi opens the door and says, he's saying, come in. I can feel a little bit because I didn't get to hold Lacey very much when she was first born. They took her straight to the intensive care unit. But I remember the first time that they placed her in my hands and I got to hold her. And my truth was with me. And I knew I was carrying my sheaves out with joy. So I can catch a little glimpse of what this mom must have felt. But I love her response. She didn't run straight to her son, although I'm sure she wanted with all her heart to do that. She went straight to the man of God, and she fell back on her feet, thanking him, honoring him. See, sometimes we forget that there's a person involved with our miracles. There's a person involved with making our truth a reality, and that's Jesus. He is our word made flesh. And even though we're unswerving, and even though we hold on to the truth, sometimes we forget to stop and say, thank you. Thank you. We forget to stop and go to his feet. We become so, and it's not on purpose. We're just so excited about the miracle, or we're so excited about holding that promise in our arms again, right? That we forget to stop and just worship him and just thank him for that miracle. But she does that. And then she goes and she picks up her son and she embraces him once again and leaves. An amazing story. All is well. She said, all is well. All is well until all was well. Do you see how important it is what our words, what we say, carry weight? All is well. All is well until all was well. And her son had been returned to her. I mean, an incredible story. But you know, this story doesn't stop here. The importance of this child, we talked about this morning. When you are a firstborn, what does that make you? An heir. She married an older man and had no children. Once her husband passed away, everything that she owned would have been lost to her. It would have gone to a male in the family line, because that's how it was done back then. Not only did God give her a son, he gave her a future. So not only did she hold this child and embrace him again, but the reality was this child was also going to inherit everything that her husband owned. So she did not have to worry if he passed away while she was still young and how would she take care of herself. God provided a way for her to be taken care of with this son. But the story doesn't stop there. See, when you're unswerving, a lot of times you see the initial blessing and it's awesome. I mean, it was awesome carrying Lacey out. It was the best feeling in the whole wide world. But my blessing in my life from her didn't end that day. Her life has blessed me for almost 25 years. I've had time and time again where her life has blessed me so richly. But the Shunammite woman got an extra blessing. It tells us a little bit later on in this book that Elisha told her, there's going to be a famine and I want you to leave and go someplace else. Take your home or take your household with you. So at this point, he was talking to her, and when he said household, he did not mention a husband, just a son. And it says that they left and went to another country. At the end of the famine, they came back. And when they came back, the king at that point was talking to Gehazi. Who's Gehazi? Elisha's servant. And he said, tell me another story about Elisha. And guess which story that Gehazi chose that day? And he goes, there was this woman. And she had done so much for us. And Elisha wanted to bless her. And he gave her a promise, a truth of a son. And she had a son. It was the craziest thing. Her husband was older, but she had a son. And then, oh my goodness, this terrible thing happened. That son died, and he goes on and he tells the whole story. At the moment that he gets the part where he says, and he was raised back from the dead. Gehazi turns because there's a commotion. And he goes, oh, that's her. That's her and her son. That's the one I was just telling you a story about. Is that a coincidence? No. No, not a coincidence. When you're unswerving and you see your promise come to pass, a lot of times your promise coming to pass isn't just for that moment. God is looking ahead down the road to what he has in your future, and he wants to bless you even more. Hallelujah. At that exact moment, she walks in. And you know what she walked in for? To come in, because it was in the time frame that if she asked, she would be able to get her land back. And the king said, I just heard the coolest story about you and your son. Can I touch him? Can I just give you guys a hug? I don't know if he said that, but I mean, that's what I would do, you know. Somebody raised from the dead, I'd want to touch him and just, can I just, you know, give you a hug or what? You know, he was super excited. And she's like, well, I came back. And he goes, oh, girl. Hey, you, come over here. Give her land back. Now listen to this. And give her back all the produce, all the harvest, all the back pay for the last 7 years that she's been gone. Are you hearing me? That's miraculous. That's what happens when you don't swerve. When you hold your ground and you stay in the truth and you stand on the truth. That even when the enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy, he can't, because you've got your truth. And even after you get your truth, you might be looking down the road and going, man, Lord, how? I listened to what you told me to do, because that's like what she was listening to Elisha, the man of God. I listened to what you said to do, and now I got to go back and ask the king, and I've been gone a long time. Guess what? God is already gone before you. When you don't swerve, he goes ahead of you, and he prepares the way for your blessing. Woo! If you will be unswerving, we face the facts. Yes, there are facts we have to face. All of us have to face them. But what is the truth about your situation? What is the truth about you? What is the truth about your family? What is the truth about your kids? There are so many children verses. If you need them, just ask me and I'll get them out for you. They're amazing verses. Great will be the peace of my children, and all my children will be taught of the Lord. When Luke was younger, he had a hard time reading, which was difficult for me because all of my kids read really well and really fast. And then it came to Luke, and I was like, Lord, I don't know what. He said, girl, I got this. And I was like, well, but Lord, he needs to learn to read a little faster. And you know, all this. He's like, what do you pray every day? Well, I pray a lot of things. He's like, but that one verse about me teaching your children. I said, you're right. You're right. I can rest in peace because you will teach my children what they need to know. And guess what? Just like that almost, Luke took a turn and started reading amazing. And now he reads and he just doesn't forget anything he reads, right? I mean, he's one of those people that he is so into the Constitution and laws and history, and he literally will be watching something and he's like, that's not constitutionally correct. I'm like, what? He goes, well, actually, it's article da 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 da, and it says this, and so they can't do that, technically. I'm like, oh, are you sure? Mom. I'm like, okay, all right, I trust you, you know? So God didn't just do what I asked. He did beyond what I asked for my son. Do you see how important it is to know the truth about everything in your life? You don't have to keep going on like you've been going. I'm here to tell you today, if you don't lean on your own understandings and on what you see and what you feel and what you hear, if you will choose to firmly fix your eyes on the Word of God and say, I refuse to swerve. I don't care how long I stand here. I refuse to swerve. I am going to say, all is well, until all is well. But it all comes down to you. You ever wish that you could unswerve for somebody else? That you could help somebody else to stop swerving? But really, it comes down to each one of us individually making that choice. We all have to make the choice that this is the only truth that we believe. We can face the facts, but those facts don't tell us what we believe. We tell the facts what they have to turn around and be like. Amen? And it comes down to us. So tonight, I just want to challenge. I have been so challenged by this story. I mean, even just getting everything ready for it. It's just been, I'm like, just eating and eating and eating and eating it. You know, I mean, just like thinking about it and dwelling on it because I want to be like this. I feel like I'm slightly, but I want to be even more, right? You can be an on fire, amazing Christian, but there is always room to grow. There is always more that we can obtain. There is always a deeper level that we can get to in the Lord. And I believe this is so important for us when it comes to trust. You can't let the things around you make you swerve, or you are going to lack the trust in the Lord that you need to make it through that very thing that you are swerving in. Does that make sense? If you want to overcome fear in your life, then you have to get in here and find every do not fear verse that you can find and stand on them. Ask the Lord, which one of these 300 and something verses do I need to have as my truth? And when you get that truth, you hold on to it with all your might and you don't let go. You know how they used to capture monkeys in Africa? They did some nets, but how they found out that they could trap them the most, the best way of doing it was they would take barrels and they would carve a hole just small enough for the monkey's hand to get through. And they would put something shiny inside the barrel. So the monkey would reach in and grab it, and because its hand was in a fist and it would not let go of the shiny thing, it would get stuck. And it couldn't get out because it wouldn't let go, right? That was in a bad way. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we need to grab onto that shiny truth and not let go no matter what. Hold on to the truth you know from this word until all is well in your situation. That's going to help our trust, I mean, literally just skyrocket. When you get to that point where things you see or you hear, you're like, oh, well, I appreciate that, you know. I'll try not to be too emotional, but I believe my mom rocked her doctor's life, to be honest with you. When they told her that the abscess that she had was from the appendix cancer that she ended up having, a rare form of it, and he had pulled his chair all the way up to hers. And he's like, did you hear me? Are you okay? And she's like, yeah. And he's just, my mom's like, it's a little uncomfortable, kind of like Steve and the guy hug, you know, it's like, okay, you're a little close, you know. And he finally rolled back, and he just looked at her and my dad, and was like, because you know what? All is well. All is well. All is well until all was well. That's the point we have to come to in our lives, that no matter what we're told, no matter what we hear, we can know we have a truth. And this is the truth. Through every symptom that she had, this is the truth. They quoted it to themselves, she quoted to herself, they listened to it. Why? Because if you don't put this in, you can't get it out to be able to hold on to it for the finish. And it can't be a last minute thing. You can't be like, oh, well, what was that for? What did Shelly say? What was that thing? No, you have to be in it for yourselves. As a pastor, sometimes I wish I could take this and just cram it into people, right? Get it in their heart, Lord. You know, get it all the way down there. Because I know how amazing it is if you will make this your truth instead of whatever the situation is. We have to be unswerving in these last days. And unswerving comes from knowing the truth. And it comes from resting. And unswerving is going to help you with the S and the T in truth or trust as well. And we'll learn those tomorrow. Are you ready to be unswerving, women of God? Let's go ahead and stand. Father, I thank you so much for this word. Unswerving. 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 God, I thank you that we are not going to swerve to the right or to the left, but we're going to fix our eyes on you. We're going to stand firm in you because we trust you. The Shunammite woman didn't even have the assurance that we have now because of your Holy Spirit. We have even more than she had, God, to add your Holy Spirit to your word so it becomes alive and active in our hearts. And God, I believe that there are women in this room that have had a promise, a truth that was given to them, but somewhere over time they let go. Maybe just gave in. It's just easier just to deal with the facts. I'm here to tell you tonight, your Heavenly Father says, we're done with the facts. Get back to the promise. Get back to the promise that I gave you. Get back to the truth that I gave you and dare to believe me for it again. Because in these last days, the darkness gets darker, but the light gets lighter. And Father, I thank you for every woman in this room that has had a truth or a promise that you gave her. I really believe tonight a lot of this is children. A lot of this is children, maybe grandchildren. And Father, I pray tonight for every mother in this room, for every child that she has, for every grandchild, maybe even great-grandchildren. God, I thank you and I praise you. The truth is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I thank you, Father, that the part of the blessing is our children will serve you with all their hearts because we have trained them up in the way that they should go. And they will not depart. I thank you, Father, no weapon formed against our families is going to prosper. These are our truths, and we are holding on. We are holding on, and we are not letting go. The enemy is not going to have our children anymore. He is not going to have our grandchildren. He is not going to have our great-grandchildren. We are the blessed, and we have a generational blessing that goes forth from us. And so we say today, we refuse to swerve. Say it with me. I refuse. I refuse to swerve. Thank you, Father. Tonight, we are going to stand like we have never stood before because of the truth of your word that we can rest in. Your truth, you will be faithful. You will be faithful. I pray, Father, even for the promises that maybe were forgotten, things that you told women years ago are coming back to their hearts and their minds, and they're going to get right back in line with your word and say, I'm not letting the devil have one more inch of my child's life. Not anymore. Father, I pray if there are those who have been fighting for their children, that have been standing for their children, I thank you, Father. The door is opening and their child is whole in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for that same anointing that was on Elisha to bring health and wholeness to our children, that they are not going to be lacking in any way tonight. I thank you, Father. You have brought us to this place, at this point, at this moment, to do the miraculous. And God, even if we felt like we're on the outside of a door and we haven't seen you doing anything lately, God, I thank you that even when we can't see electricity, it's still there. And even though we can't maybe see what you've been doing in our children's lives, we know you're doing it. And tonight I praise you for that. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, you are going even before our children. Years ahead, Father, in the ways we can't even imagine. And you are going before them, springing the traps of the devil. Our children will serve the Lord their whole lives. And if they're not serving, they're coming back to Jesus now. I thank you, Father, for placing people in their lives around them, Father, that will be able to speak that word, speak that truth, that just like that, they're going to come back to Jesus, fall on their faces before you, and be raised up in Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your truth. And that's what we choose to stand on. Father, there may be other women in this room that have been standing or praying for someone else, and it looks like there's so much swerving going on. I pray tonight that they would not grow weary in well-doing. They would not grow weary in standing and believing for those people around them. Father, I pray that they would continue to stand, and when they've done all to stand some more, that they wouldn't swerve, and they are going to see the miraculous happen in these people's lives. I thank you, Father. I praise you, Lord, even for our nation, God. We are going to believe big. We're not going to be limited. Our God is able. And Father, you are looking for women who will rise up and say, I can believe for me and my house and for my nation and for the world. Someone has to believe for them. God, we choose. We choose to believe. We choose to stand in the gap tonight. And we say, Father, with all of our hearts, we refuse to let America go to hell. We refuse to let America go to hell. Right here, right now, we say no in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for revealing things in each area where we live. Reveal to us what we need to pray for, how we need to pray. And even if it seems crazy, a crazy idea, everywhere I read in the Bible were crazy ideas, God, that you moved and worked and nations were saved. Guess what, Lord? We want our nation saved. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for a Holy Spirit fire that's coming on each one of us tonight as you fill us anew tonight with your Holy Spirit, God, a fire and a passion for your word and for the truth, God, that people are going to go, what in the world happened to you? And that we're going to be able to say, I learned to trust. I learned the truth. I'm resting. I'm not swerving anymore. I live a surrendered life, and I trust in God's timing. I'm different. I'm going to be different because my level of trust is different. And Father, I just praise you, and I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. That not only are you faithful to all your promises, you are loving toward all you have made. I thank you, Lord, tonight. Thank you, Lord, for filling us so full of your love that it can't help but just overflow. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to be unswerving women of faith. And thank you, Father, for anointing the next two sessions tomorrow. Go before us and prepare our hearts for both of those. That we're going to see a new way to surrender. We're going to see a new way of looking at timing. And Father, I thank you by the end of this conference, we're going to look at trust a whole new way. And we just praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. I just would like to invite anybody that would like to come up tonight to make a declaration of faith of, Lord, I choose not to swerve anymore. I'm going to stand, and when I've done all the stand, I'm going to stand some more, and I'm going to hold on to truth. I don't care what I was like before, but I'm going to hold on to your truth like never before. I want you just to come forward as a statement of faith that tonight's my night, Lord, and I'm saying I'm going to be like the Shunammite woman, and I'm not ever going to swerve again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your presence tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the calling that you're calling us to. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that is so powerful here tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We're just going to take a moment here. It almost just feels like electricity. Just the presence of the Lord here tonight. And I just feel like for those of you that have come up, I just feel like I'm supposed to come and just lay hands on you. And I'm going to say one word. Unswerving. Unswerving. You know how Jesus said, it is finished? When I lay hands on you and I say unswerving, you are never going back to swerving again. It's like a seal, the Lord said. That when the devil looks at you, he's going to see the words unswerving, 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 unswerving. And he's going to go, ooh, Watch out for that one. So let's just be praying and praising. And again, I'm just going to come by. I'm just going to touch you and believe the power of God is going to go through you for a new anointing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just praise you once again for your anointing here tonight. And God, I praise you in advance. I believe we're going to hear testimonies and miracles of things you have done in our children tonight. And God, I just praise you and I thank you again for the faithfulness of your word. Thank you for that. I thank you, Father, you bless the remainder of our evening, bless our time as we hang out. Thank you for the joy and the laughter. Thank you for the fellowship and the community we share tonight. And I just ask, Lord, that you would just hover over this place, even in our fun time, God. Hang out with us and have fun with us tonight. We invite you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.